Charles Dickens was born 200 years ago today.
Born just in time to become the greatest writer, perhaps, of the Victorian age. The English author brought us some of the most enduring characters and novels in the English language. A Tale of Two Cities, Great Expectations, A Christmas Carol, and David Copperfield, to name a few.
Birthday celebrations are going on around the world. There's a street party in Portsmouth, where Charles Dickens was born, a memorial service in Westminster Abbey, where he is buried, complete with members of the English royal family and 200 of his descendants, and adoring fans from Australia to Zimbabwe are participating in a 24-hour readathon of his works.
NPR's Linda Wertheimer is also a big fan of the novels and, of course, of the movie adaptations.
It was the best of times. It was the worst of times.
Please, sir, I want some more.
What?
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 Ask for more?
A Merry Christmas to you, Uncle. God save you. Humbug. Christmas humbug? Uncle, I'm sure you don't mean that.
Humbug, I said, and humbug, I mean.
Bah humbug, and then God bless us, everyone, are heard every year in the Christmas holidays. Like lots of Charles Dickens' words, those phrases have slipped into our minds and our memories, together with people like the hungry waif Oliver Twist, sweet little Dorrit, cruel Mr. Murdstone, who put children to work in his factory. Claire Tomlin has written a new biography, Dickens, A Life, about his extraordinary imagination.
After Shakespeare, Dickens is the great creator of characters, multiple characters. He did these great walks. He would walk every day for miles and miles and miles, and I sometimes think he was sort of stoking up his imagination and thinking of his characters. And the way he built his novels was through the voices of his characters.
Dickens himself said he must walk far and fast, perhaps because of deadline pressure. The novels were published as cliffhanging serials in magazines or pamphlets before they became bound books. Nothing could be rewritten. He had to get it right the first time.
He would write these quite rapidly, and very little was changed when they were brought out in book form, in volume form afterwards. And what he was doing, he was writing books which have become classics. And no other writer has done this.
Dickens biographer Claire Tomlin, she notes there is bad writing to be found in Dickens' speedily produced novels, but much more that is great. Her favorites are Bleak House, Our Mutual Friend, and David Copperfield.
David Copperfield was, of course, Dickens' own favorite book.
Whether I shall turn out to be the hero of my own life, or whether that station will be held by anybody else, these pages must show.
It was his first sustained piece of first-person writing, and I think those first 14 chapters in which David Copperfield describes his childhood are extraordinary documents about what children feel with attachment and loss and cruelty and the sort of hazards of childhood and how children can respond to them.
For those who were force-fed Dickens in middle school and hated him, Claire Tomlin urges us to reconsider. Jennifer Egan, who won the Pulitzer Prize last year for her book A Visit from the Goon Squad, is a fan who came back to the books and unexpectedly found that Dickens felt modern.
The way that Dickens structured his books has a form that we most readily recognize now from, say, the great TV series like The Wire or The Sopranos. There's one central plot line, but then from that spin off all kinds of subplots. And so he would go off in all different directions and create these amazing secondary characters who would go in and out of focus. But then there was also this central kind of spinal column of a plot that he would return to.
Part of her new attraction, Egan says, are the issues Dickens deals with. Wealth and poverty, class and corruption, politicians who speak about morality but behave very differently.
The things that he's interested in are still very relevant. For example, Bleak House, one of the major characters is corporate litigation and the way in which it consumes all kinds of people associated with it, both in the sense that it sort of nullifies the morality of the people that represent it and the way it kind of chews up and spits out people whose lives depend on the outcome of this case, Jarndyce versus Jarndyce, that never seems to end.
One of the people ground down by the courts of Chancery in that long-running lawsuit is young Richard Carstone.
Richard's story is really harrowing because he's a man of great promise. He's handsome and charismatic, But at a certain point, he starts to think that maybe he will be able to become rich through the resolution of this litigation. And Dickens beautifully portrays the way that this acts on him almost like a drug, almost like an addiction.
I can't get my heart to it, or my mind, or my soul. I can't attend to anything while those villains in court are holding my fate in the balance.
He's constantly enthralled by this possibility that maybe he'll just become rich. And essentially, the addiction kills him. He ends up with less and less and less until finally he just dies.
Dickens' novels often had more than 100 characters, major and minor, each with their own vivid speech. Ben Zimmer, a visual thesaurus, has written a birthday column about Dickens' language.
He used slang terms like butterfingers for a clumsy person, flummox to mean bewilder. There was the term sawbones, which was a slang term for a surgeon. And so he seemed to be very keen on bringing a new type of language into English literature.
Now we use those words. And, Ben Zimmer points out, we also use the names of Dickens' characters to describe people.
We can talk about a Scrooge. That's a miserly type who says things like bah humbug. There's a Fagin from Oliver Twist.
Is my handkerchief hanging out of my pocket, dear?
Yes, sir.
If you can take it without my feeling it. Is it gone?
Yes. Here it is.
Ah, you clever boy.
That character named Fagin then ended up being used to refer to anybody like Fagin in Oliver Twist who trained young people into a life of crime.
But the bottom line on Charles Dickens is that he was one of the greatest storytellers in the English language. And if you surrender to his winding narratives, his detours, his huge cast of characters, you will be rewarded. We'll give the last word to his fellow writer, Jennifer Egan.
I remember there was a point where I was on a very bumpy plane ride, an overnight flight. I was so miserable. And I pulled out David Copperfield, and I forgot how scared and tired I was. And I thought, this is what reading should be. I'm utterly transported out of my present situation.
Charles Dickens was born on February 7th, 1812. I'm Linda Wertheimer, NPR News.